Lord, I thank you that you have come to set us free in every single way, and that unforgiveness does not have to rule our lives, and that sin does not have to be part of our daily behavior. Father, I just pray that you would open up each heart, God, for a moment of confession. If you need to confess a sin right now to the Lord, I encourage you to do that. If you need to forgive somebody right now in the name of Jesus, even if you're not feeling it, just to say the words, "I release them from this debt," will be like the shaking of a root in your heart. I encourage you to do that right now. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you are ready to give us in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, let's begin. All right, so what we're going to do is I personally was raised by a super amazing spiritual mama. And the love of the Lord in my life was caught, not taught. And what I mean by that is she just lived her life in front of me, like in a real sloppy way, but I got to see all the great and all the bad and how she navigated that. She didn't hide any of that from me and my sister. And out of that, we got like a real authentic version of what it was to love the Lord and to live a human life, because dadgummit, we're flesh and bones. One day I'll just be spirit and I'm looking forward to it, but it ain't happened yet. So what we're going to do is I'm going to share two stories of how the Lord has dealt with me recently. And I am believing that he's got a little something in there for each of you. And then I'm going to loosely connect them because it is a sermon, so that's got to happen at some point. But you be looking for the thing it is that the Lord has for you, okay? We've opened our spiritual eyes and our spiritual heart. Now, let's let the Holy Spirit work. So, first story, story number one. I'm actually going to read it because I wrote it earlier, and sometimes my writing is better than my speaking. That happens sometimes. Here it is. 2 days before Christmas, I found myself on all fours on the floor of a public bathroom. I had let rage take over my emotions, and I was on the verge of burning my life to the ground. What brought me to my knees was the knowing in my heart that I have surrendered my will to King Jesus. That means that the Holy Spirit, who is wise counselor, gives me, sometimes, a sense of where my decisions might take me. And I have a choice in that moment. Surrender means I don't get to do things like walk away from my relationships and commitments. I don't get to retaliate in anger, and I sure don't get to pour the poison of my rage all over everyone around me. But I need help. Independence, on the other hand, means I can do all that and more. I could key a car. I could walk away from my husband. I could burn it all to the ground. I have a choice. But I'll have to live with those consequences, which won't be pretty and will take a long time to recover from. So there I was on the floor, yelling in my head and in my heart, "I need you, Jesus. I need your help to be obedient. Yes, I do in this moment surrender my desire to make a wreck of my situation. But I cannot face this day without you. I just can't." People, saying those words out loud in the public bathroom of the senior citizens' living community were both humbling and freeing. To confess my heart to the Lord is humbling, but it's always will bring freedom. Always. What does that song, "His yoke is light"? It really is. So that is my moment of surrender. This just happened, what was 2 days before Christmas ago? A week and a half, whatever that was. And it was a powerful moment for me. And I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share that, what had happened, because he wanted you to know about surrender. So I'm going to keep reading. See, I stopped reading and I should have just kept going. Why am I telling you this story? Because I think there is a truth about Christian living that you need to know. There is the initial surrender to Jesus and the absolute truth of the gospel. And then there's a whole bunch more surrender after that. By which I mean choices. You can choose to line up with who God says that you are and act like a co-heir with Christ. Or you can choose to make choices that reflect your former identity of slavery. I am compelled at this moment to delineate the difference between whether or not you should buy 2% or skim milk and whether or not you should leave your husband, right? We are talking about the big choices in life. But, yes, that. Everybody, it's very heavy and thick in here. I can feel it. Everybody's like, what's happening next? So I just felt that was a moment for you guys to see what it is to have lived a life in the Lord. I became a Christian when I was 4. I've walked out, you know, my relationship with him since there. There's been really super amazing hilltop moments and not so much at other times. But being willing to surrender to the Lord over and over and over and over in your life is what will make a difference for you. If we do not surrender and surrender quickly, who remembers the last time I spoke here? What did I say? Learn your lesson. Learn it. Learn it quick. And this is what the Lord is still wanting to teach me in my heart. Jenny, learn your lesson. Do it quick. Surrender quick, girl, before you burn bridges that you can't build in a day again. Right? As we're looking forward to the future in this year, are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to, in that moment, say, oh, obedience sucks. Everything I want to do right now is take a rifle and shoot somebody in the kneecap. You know, really and truly, I deal with rage. I can laugh about it, but like when the rage monster happens for me, it is like hulking out and going nuts. And the ability to surrender to the Lord, right? And to love him and to choose who I am now. Because who I am now is a new creation, okay? What the Lord promises us when we do that initial surrender is that we are free from sin and death. I am free from the shackles of my rage. It does not have to hold me anymore. I am free from evil and bad words that I could potentially speak in anger over the ones that I love. But I have to choose, right, in those moments of choice, those moments of precipice, to align myself up with what the Lord has said about me and not my old slave self. Yeah? Okay, that was kind of heavy. Let's move on to a lighter-ish moment. So those are the deep things. But here's what happens. Sometimes, guys, we just step in it. And you make bad decisions that you're like, after the fact, oh, that was bad. Shouldn't have done it. You know, hindsight's 20/20. But you're going to have to walk through the consequences of those decisions as well. So here's this story. Yeah, I'm just going to tell it. And I felt like the Lord wanted you to hear this as well. Somebody needs to hear this story. I'm excited for you. It is this. A couple of weeks ago, I'm a henna artist. I have become a henna artist in 2018. I will become a better henna artist in 2019. The Lord's going to bring people into the kingdom through my henna. I'm excited about it. And that means you have to practice. You got to practice a lot. It doesn't just like happen. Drawing paintings in mud on people's skin is no joke. You know, I practice on myself a lot. I'm my own best canvas. And right before Christmas, I was like super pumped one night, and I did this design on my hand, and I woke up the next morning, and I hated it. Well, if you know anything about henna, it sticks around for like 2 solid weeks. So I patiently waited, waited and waited for it to fade and fade and fade. And at the end of 2 weeks, I began to scrub because that sucker had not faded one bit. And it usually only lasts for like 10 days, but this was like going on day 14. So every morning and every night, I started scrubbing my hand with like, this stuff is called microdermabrasion for your face. It's like this serious exfoliator on my hand. And I was headed to an event, seven more actually, so we all are doing that now. And I was in the car, and I talked to the Lord like a friend. Often I will not put on the radio because the Holy Spirit is a friend to me, and so you got to spend time with your friends, and that's a great time to do it. So I'm in the car, and I'm going, Jesus, what the heck? This will not come off of my hand, and we're going on like almost 3 weeks, and you know. This is not a big deal, but I was just frustrated. I swear, y'all, this is how the Holy Spirit does to me. I felt a chuckle. I felt a spiritual chuckle. And like as if, you know, the Lord is sitting next to me, release in my heart. And I felt that the Lord said, well, Jen, sometimes you just have to live with your decisions for a while. Oh, dang. Okay, that's cool. But then I felt like the Lord was still, you know, kind of chuckling and said, the good news is everything will be made right in the end. Just as sure as you know that that stain will fade, because you know it will, you can trust that I love you and that I'm faithful to you. Oh, yes. Yes, thank you, Lord. But you just may have to wait a little bit for the effects of the choices you've made to come out in the wash. Okay, y'all, there's some pretty profound stuff in there. It was just this little moment that I had with the Lord who loves me and is gracious to me. But this is a principle that he's been teaching me my whole life. Which is, Jenny, don't burn your bridge, girl. Finish well, because you are going to have to live out the consequences, good, bad, or neutral, about some of the things that you are doing. And it behooves us to think about that at the beginning of a year, right? So I wanted to just do a smattering of talking about that. Like I said, these are loosely related. This is more of a spiritual pep rally. Gotcha. So here's what I know. Everybody, when you hear about like decisions and consequences in the spiritual world, uses this verse, and I don't think that they're wrong. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and, who knows the rest, are called according to his purpose. Gold stars. All right, so that one is Romans 8:28, okay? So even if you find yourself in the middle of a bad sitch, you're like, ugh, it was a bad decision? Shouldn't have done that, but here I am now, okay? You can trust and know what the Lord told me that day in the car, and this scripture is true. It's going to be okay. This is not the end of your life, and it's definitely not the end of your spiritual walk with me. I love you. This is going to come out in the wash. It may just take a little bit. And good things can happen for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That means you. If you've surrendered to the Lord, Jesus, and you've made him sit on the throne of your heart, that is you. What great news. You don't have to get stuck in that moment. It's just a moment. Maybe it's going to last 6 months. But it's just a moment. Next. I want to talk a little bit about people in the Bible who have made real crappy decisions. Because I'm one person, but I'm not special. And these people are some people, and they're really not that special either, except for that the Lord used them mightily, and somebody wrote down their story, which we can use to know God and to know people, which is neat, really, when you think about it. So the first one is Jacob. This is in the context of making bad decisions and having to walk through the consequences, but being okay in the end. If you guys know, Jacob had a twin brother, and how they knew who was the firstborn of those two boys. These are the sons of Isaac, by the way. So you have Abram, who turned into Abraham, who had Isaac. Isaac had twin brothers, one of which was Jacob. So how the midwives decided who was born first is apparently, I don't know, I don't have kids, so I don't know really lots about childbirth. One of the babies stuck his arm out. Quickly, they tied a red string around that arm. He pulled it back in. Some more stuff happened. The babies were born, and then the one with the red string, they deemed firstborn. Weird, right? The Bible's weird. If you think it's boring, you haven't really read it. So Jacob is the second born of this shenanigans. And he, with his mother, Rebecca, whose name means deceiver. Eesh, not a good name. Beautiful. My twin sister's name is Rebecca, oddly enough. She's not a deceiver. She's actually whimsical and wonderful. I don't know why I threw that in there. That didn't make any sense. He, along with his mother, decided that he would be better suited to having the birthright in the family. Now, back in the day, this was a big deal. It'd be like when your parents die and they bequeath everything to you. You get the cars and the house and all their money and whatever their business is. And they did not divide that between sons. The first son got it because if you keep dividing over generations, then basically your family has nothing after like three generations. So they decided that Jacob was the one who should get it. So they deceive Isaac into giving Jacob the birthright. That's a bad decision. Like, full stop. To deceive your father, to get into cahoots with your mother to deceive your father. You know, it's just a sticky wicket altogether. So it happens. He gets the birthright. And immediately, what does Jacob have to do? Flee from his hometown for fear that his brother will murder him. That's a consequence. Let me tell you, he had to live with the consequences of his actions. So his mother, the deceiver, says, hey, why don't you go live with my brother Laban? Well, if you know she's a deceiver, you know her brother probably in much better. And sure enough, that old guy was a so-and-so. So Jacob goes and lives with Laban. He works for him. One of Laban's daughters catches Jacob's eye, and he's like, ooh, Rachel. Yes, that one. And he goes to Laban and says, say, Laban, uncle, could I have Rachel's hand in marriage? And he's like, yeah, man. Just work really hard for me for 7 years. She's yours. Great. Seems like it. Okay, I have to flee from my brother anyways. So he works hard labor, is what the Bible says, for Laban for 7 years. This is a consequence of having to flee his hometown. Because why? His brother, he thinks, wants to murder him. Because why? He deceived his father. Do you see what's setting up here? It's just dominoes that are getting knocked down. One after another, none of which were started from a good place. It's a sticky way to live, real sticky. Anyways, so what ends up happening is on the night of his wedding, he gets super drunk, bad decision. He's just like making all kinds of really great decisions in this story. Doesn't realize that Laban has actually given Rachel's sister Leah in marriage. Leah. After they consummate, the next morning he wakes up and is like, say what? You're not Rachel. And she's like, no, I'm not, baby, but I'm your wife. And that was a super bummer for him. So he goes to Laban and says, like, what the heck? And Laban's like, sounds like a personal problem for me. You consummated the marriage. And then Jacob says, well, great, but I really want Rachel. And Laban says, great, you'll work for me for 7 more years. 14 years of his life, guys, he got swindled into working for somebody else because of bad decisions. Now, he had to walk through the consequences of that. And you may be thinking, God, Jenny, this stinks. But I'm not going to leave you right there. Here's the end of this story. It goes a little something like this. After he actually eventually does marry Rachel, it's this whole big hubbub. It's great. He gathers himself up and says, I've worked for you for long enough, father-in-law. I'm outskies. And he gathers up all of his lambs and goats and all the stuff, and they make haste back to the hometown, right? His birthright, what he is supposed to legally have, but he comes like tucktail, you know, like this, like, oh, I hope I don't get murdered when I come home. Not like, this is all mine and legally I own it, because why? He didn't do it the right way. He's still fearing for his life, essentially, and the life of his family. But here's the wonderful thing about what God can do for you and me and anyone. He is the ultimate reconciler of relationships. Thank you, Lord. So what ends up happening to Jacob is his brother meets him halfway. He's already forgiven him. He ushers him back into the land, hands over the keys, and Jacob and his brother are allowed to live in peace and harmony together in the land. Jesus comes from the line of Jacob, this idiot who made bad decisions. In fact, when we talk about who is the God of Israel, we say God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's amazing. Okay, if that doesn't give us hope that you may have to live through your crappy consequences of the decisions you've made, and you may. Guys, I just don't feel like the Lord wants us to hear tonight that, like, if you love the Lord, it's all going to be rainbows and sunshine. It's not going to be. You may have to live through it. But I really, really feel like the Lord wants you to know, to walk away tonight with this. I love you. It is going to be okay. You are going to be made right in the end. You are going to be worshiping and praising with your brothers and sisters and me in heaven. This situation is not your eternity. It's just a moment. So don't focus on that, but focus on me. I am the living God. Wow. Yes, Lord, in 2019, I will. Okay, it was a shorty, but I hope a goodie. We're going to have the worship team come up. And this is what I'm going to encourage you guys. You have an opportunity. The Holy Spirit is revealing to you something in your heart. I just believe it. Either you need to lay down and surrender something, or you just need to confess, yeah, Lord, I did that. And now I got to live with the consequences, and it sucks. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to help me be obedient in this moment. Guys, there's like crazy earth-shattering power in that. So take advantage of this extra time that we have to worship and be together. I'm going to actually ask, can one of the prayer partners, Dave Gardine, can you go over here? Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't care. Walk. It's cool. I'm just feeling it. I think there needs to be prayer partners on both sides. And I want you to make use of them. I'm going to go stand with Dave. And if you need prayer to let go of something or surrender a bad behavior or a decision that you've made in your life that is not in keeping with what the Lord says about you, pray with us. We want to be there with you, invoking the Holy Spirit in your life to release you from those things. If you just need to confess, I made a bad decision and now I'm living with the consequences, Lord, help me be obedient in this moment, we want to do that with you too. That's it. We love you.